What is up, Reby and Preby fans? We're back with another episode of Puckin' Around here on the Reby and Preby Sports Network, covering the first round and second round of Stanley Cup playoffs. We're going to briefly go over round one and then talk a little bit about what is going on in round two so far. We also are going to be keeping an eye on game three of Rangers-Bruins, which is puck drop just in a little bit. But as always, I'm your host, Noah Dodd-Diber, representing his Pittsburgh Penguins, joined by my friend and co-host Brady Campbell, representing his recently eliminated New York Islanders, lost in five games against those Carolina Hurricanes, who are in a bit of a struggle themselves lately. But before we get into it, Brady, what have been, you know, first of all, how have you been doing these past couple weeks while I've been away? And, you know, what have been some of your first thoughts, you know, watching the Stanley Cup playoffs so far?
Yeah, I've been, other than the Islanders, I've been doing well. Thankfully, I've had the Knicks to keep me going right now. But as we've been mentioning throughout the last several episodes, it's really kind of been a very unique regular season, very like even more so like exciting. I feel like a lot more going on than in years past, and the playoffs I feel like have really lived up to the hype as well. A lot of the you know, really strong teams during the regular season haven't really lost much of a step, at least in that first round. We noticed, you know, and obviously now as we move into the second round, things get a lot tighter with the competition. But, you know, a few, I guess, surprises to some extent. You know, Vegas, obviously Dallas has been incredible. And I figured that would be a really tight series, but we officially will have a new Stanley Cup champion this year. One thing I have noticed too, which, I mean, with the exception of it happening to the Islanders, at least on one occasion, there's been like a lot of, you know, no team is really out of any of these games. There's been a lot of comebacks. I feel like there's been a lot of games where, you know, one team goes ahead by, you know, two or three goals really early. And oftentimes, you know, that could be curtains. But as we've seen in today's NHL, and especially now here in these playoffs, there's been a lot of comebacks, a lot of exciting hockey.
Yeah, man, there was just one that I think the night before last when the Oilers were up 4-2 in third period against the Canucks. Canucks came back to win that game 5-4. That was, you know, just a total meltdown. But a great job by the Canucks to come back. They've looked really good so far. Tom coming in saying, welcome to the playoffs, gents. He's very happy. He's a Rangers fan. They're still undefeated in the playoffs right now. But before we get into, you know, covering round one, I did want to throw up our predictions for round one here. Now, I have not looked at these since we first did them, so I'm kind of a bit hazy on what some of them were. But we'll start with the West here and see how this went. So put it up here. So Dallas, we both picked Dallas to win that series. You picked them in six. I picked them in seven. They did end up winning in seven. It was a very close matchup. Players to watch. Let me get the stats up here real quick. So I had Robertson, Eichel. Robertson had 5 points in seven games, three goals, but he was a minus five, so didn't quite work out for me there. But Eichel was Vegas' leading scorer with 7 points, three goals in seven games as well. So that was a pretty good pick for me. And you had Mark Stone, who had three goals in seven games, was a minus two. And Thomas Harley, I'll look real quick, had 1 point in seven games and was a plus two. So bit of a mixed bag there, I think, with the players to watch. But we both did get the winner right, and I actually somehow got the number of games right. And I wasn't sure about that because Vegas, you know, looked really good to start. You know, went up 2-0 with the first two games in Dallas. And I was thinking, oh, no, might have gotten this one wrong. But then Dallas, you know, won three straight games, you know, to kind of get it back competitive. And ultimately ended up winning it in game seven. And I think, Brady, the first thing I want to discuss about that is Jake Oettinger, because this is a guy that, you know, he had that incredible start to his playoff career when he came against the Flames. But ever since then, I've seen a lot of people, you know, kind of being negative about him, you know, saying he's overrated, stuff like that, saying he's a bit of a fraud. And it was not a good start to the series, and I kind of started to see that. I don't know if you saw it from, you know, a few people saying he's overrated and stuff like that. But then, like, the last four games of the series, Brady in particular, he was amazing. And, you know, after that rough start, I mean, you see the stats there, 925 save percentage in the Vegas series for Jake Oettinger. Basically stood on his head those last couple games. Even the game they lost in game six, it was only 2-0. I mean, Dallas got shut out, so there was nothing he could do there. But, you know, I think past the first two, I thought he was really good. I thought Robinson was really good as well. Wyatt Johnston was a stud in the series as well. And they got it done. And on the other side, I think, you know, I think Vegas goaltending did good as well. But outside of Jack Eichel, I think their offense really fell off a cliff. So what were some of your thoughts from, you know, the defending champs, like you mentioned earlier, get knocked out in round one?
Yeah. I mean, overall, it was kind of a down year for Vegas, you know, to some extent, a Stanley Cup hangover. They started off, you know, very well, and then eventually they fell into that, you know, eight seed in the West, which was kind of crazy towards the end of the season. But, you know, of course, they got back Stone and Hurdle, I believe, came back, and all those guys, you know, just in time for the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
Coincidentally. And, you know, Mark Stone, I think, you know, especially early on in that series, he had a few goals, and Vegas, as you said, looked really strong. And yeah, I know Jake Oettinger had a bit of like a down year too, and a rough start to the playoffs, but you know, I think he's one of the, you know, at the very least top 10, borderline like top 5-ish goalies in the NHL, especially when he's on his game. And especially towards the middle and later part of that series, he was basically locked down. And as you mentioned here, Wyatt Johnston, I picked the wrong young guy for the Stars there as my player to watch. I think he's still only like 19, which is crazy that he's like 2 years, give or take, younger than me. But he's in the NHL. He had 7 points, 4 goals, leading the Stars. You know, to victory, had some really big ones as well. You know, Robertson and those guys, of course, carried their weight on the back end as well. Ryan Suter and Miro Heiskanen made some big plays too. And there was a lot of physicality too, a lot of hitting. Of course, that one kind of clip went viral when I think it was McNabb. I forget who he hit. And then Jamie Benn just laid a shoulder into him. So that, in my opinion, obviously it went 7 as well, but that was definitely one of the more exciting series. In the end, though, we know how good Vegas is, but I think the Stars, this is just kind of, you know, I'm not saying like their year to win the Stanley Cup, but, you know, for Vegas, they kind of just ran into a really good, relatively young, for the most part, I feel like, team that, you know, has a lot of talent and is really hungry. Now they're going up against Colorado too, which is no easy task. You know, the previous year's Stanley Cup champs. So, but I like what I'm seeing so far from Dallas. They got, this is what you need in the playoffs. They got kind of their best players to step up big time when they needed them to.
Yeah, man. I mean, talk about a gauntlet. You go from Vegas to Colorado for Dallas. It's definitely not been an easy road for them. But you know, Vegas was definitely a team, and I know we mentioned this a lot. They were way better than their record showed, and I think they show that in this series, you know, taking a team that was, you know, I don't think they won the Presidents, but I think they were really close. I could be wrong on that. You know, all the way to 7, and they had the 2-0 series lead, weren't able to hold on. But at the same time, unfortunately, you know, it is kind of their fault that they underachieved most of the year and, you know, had to face a way stronger team than they probably would have liked if they had just, you know, kind of gone par for the course. For the talent level that they have. So overall, I think, you know, Dallas, a great series win for them. I agree with you on Wyatt Johnson as well. He scored like 25 goals or something last season, 24-25, you know, when he was basically playing, you know, third line minutes with maybe some power play time here and there. So he's always had the talent. Robertson's a stud. He may not, you know, have gone point per game or anything in the first round, but he's definitely, I'd say, their most important offensive player. And he's still got Jamie Benn, you know, chugging along. I think I actually saw he had a massive hit the other night as well in one of the Abs games. So they got some good talent. I think that Colorado series is going to be very interesting. We're going to get that in a little bit, but I think that's another one that could go, you know, quite a long ways. But if we go back to our West predictions here, so Colorado in 6, I actually thought this was kind of maybe an out there pick. I saw a lot of people saying that the Abs the Jets were a terrible matchup for the Abs and that the Jets would actually win. But let me tell you, man, Connor Hellebuyck, who was my player to watch, this poor guy got lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, don't get me wrong, the defense was terrible. Like, it was absolutely horrific how bad they were.
That one own goal, I don't know if it was Pionk or, basically he just shot it at him.
But, I mean, 864 save percentage for a guy that's probably going to win the Vezina, I mean, that's definitely not what you want. The Jets were just struggling both in net, defensively. They were scoring, pretty decent. I mean, 15 goals over five games is definitely nothing to sneeze at. But, I mean, when you're looking at our stats here, I think I chose Mikko Rantanen. I'm not looking at the screen right now. I'm pretty sure he's my player to watch.
Yeah.
Not 9 points in five games, seven assists, plus six, plus minus. I mean, that'll get it done. Cale Makar and MacKinnon with 9 points as well. Arturi Leck, I mean, they got eight point-per-game players in that series. So, I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. So, Connor Hellebuyck was indeed a player to watch, but it was not for the reason that most people probably would have expected. That aside for you, you had Kyle Connor. I'll get his stats up here real quick. He had 5 points in five games, three goals, minus two. So, pretty solid. Definitely one of the Jets' better players. And then for the Avs, you had, let me see, Georgiev, who I already mentioned. Wasn't his best series, but, I mean, compared to Hellebuyck, I mean, it was night and day, I guess. So it was definitely a little bit better. Now, the Predators-Canucks series, we both had Vancouver in seven. I definitely thought this would be a competitive series, and it was. It did not go seven, but, I mean, we definitely saw Nashville was in this series, pretty solidly. They were one of the hottest teams the second half of the season, going up against one of the strongest teams all year. They tied it up 1-1 after game two, and then they were able to survive elimination game five. But then game six, a 1-0 shutout, which is definitely a heartbreaking way to lose a game. But players to watch, I had Quinn Hughes, who had 5 points in six games, minus one, so pretty okay series for Quinn Hughes. Didn't light it up or anything, but not bad. And then Ryan McDonagh was kind of, my dark horse in this series. And where is he? He had 1.6 games minus one. So didn't quite work out the way I expected for Ryan McDonagh there. You had Brock Besser and Nyquist. Nyquist had 4 points in six games, was their second leading scorer, minus three. So pretty good there. And Besser, Vancouver's leading scorer, 4 goals, 6 points, tied with JT Miller for the lead there. So overall, pretty good. But I think the player that determined the series was a player that literally no one would probably even know coming in the series, which is Artur Sealovs, who came in after Thatcher Demko got injured. And man, I mean, this guy just absolutely stood on his head, Brady. 938 save percentage. He had the shutout in the deciding game. When Demko went down, I think a lot of people probably expected that the Canucks would be in trouble because I think Demko's a stud. But to Sealov's credit, man, I mean, Demko got injured and he came in and he not only, outperformed UC Sorrow on the other end, but he stood on his head, man. I think he's probably the main reason they won this series.
Yeah, I completely agree. Demko went down and it's not automatically like, it's over, like Nashville. Here comes Sealovs, like this guy that we really barely heard of, going up against UC Saros and the Predators who were red hot coming into the playoffs. But, we thought that could really, play a big role in kind of the rest of the series. But as you mentioned, he stood on his head. And, I mean, Vancouver was up 2-1 in the series. And then Nashville had a chance to completely flip the script. And then they blew it late and Brock Besser got that hat trick. And they ended up winning in overtime with a goal from Lindholm. And that kind of was basically almost the final nail in the coffin, really, for them. And as you mentioned, they were able to salvage game five, but, winning kind of three straight against a team like the Canucks with the season they're having was no easy task. And I feel like we see it every year with at least one guy where, this kind of backup or really young goalie is thrown into these situations. And, every once in a while, we seem like really thrive, and at least for a series. And obviously, Sealovs came up huge for them. They got Dakota Joshua has been great for them as well throughout the whole playoffs. They got contributions, of course, from Pedersen and Quinn Hughes on the back end too. But yeah, Nashville, I mean, they had an incredible season. This was a tough series for me to pick. I just think with the all-around season that Vancouver had, that I had to give them the edge in seven, and they actually did it a little bit sooner than that, though.
And then last one, which was the Kings and Oilers. We both picked the King or the Oilers to win this one. I had them in six. You had them in five. So you were correct on that one. Players to watch. So I went with Bouchard just because I kind of think like McDavid and Dreisaitl are kind of like the easy ones. Like you expect them to go off, which they did. I mean, 12 and 10 points respectively for them in five games is just absolutely ridiculous. But Evan Bouchard is their offensive defenseman. Definitely a guy I think would be flying under the radar. And he had a great series in this one, Brady. 9 points in five games, 8 assists, plus +3, 4 points on the power or 4 assists on the power play, power play goal as well. So 5 total points there. Logging 22 minutes time on ice per game. Definitely a great choice there, I think, for me. Cam Talbot, I chose him because basically I think the Kings' best chance to win the series was if he absolutely stood on their head, slow down the Oilers' offense. He had an .861 save percentage, so that did not work out for them. And then you had McDavid. I just went over stats. Obviously, Epsi went off. And then Kempe, he was the Kings' leading scorer. He had four goals and 5 points in five games, minus one. So definitely some good choices there. But, I mean, I don't really think there's too much to go over in this series. I think Kings, nice young core, but they don't have that superstar talent a team like the Oilers do. They still got, you know, guys like Kopitar and Daddy who I think are really good, but they're on up there. They're not what I'd call superstars anymore. They have a lot of really good guys. They have a lot of young guys I like. But when it comes to star power, they just don't have it. And they didn't have a goaltending advantage in the series either, which basically meant they had no shot. And I think that's, what, three straight playoff runs the Kings have had where they've been eliminated by the Oilers. And this was easily the most one-sided one. I think they've actually gotten more one-sided as they've gone along. But, yeah, Brady, any general thoughts on this Kings-Oilers series and how it wrapped up?
I think you kind of got it down there. The Kings, I kind of agree with you. They have a lot of, you know, good young players, some good young talent. Even their guys that are older are still extremely talented, but they kind of lack that star factor, I guess, that the Oilers, of course, have. And McDavid and Dreisaitl and Zach Hyman has been huge playing with those guys as well on the Oilers. And, yeah, as you mentioned, kind of the goaltending, I almost feel like almost no team has an edge, but Stuart Skinner has definitely had one of his best seasons overall as an Oiler as well, especially in that series with them. So for the Kings, they kind of just, you know, ran into a very, very talented team who, you know, as we've seen, they do have their struggles eventually, at least in the playoffs. But overall, just, you know, a team that you don't want to go up against because they have guys that will make you pay very easily if you're not on your game.
Yeah, I mean, they can go off for 3 goals at will. Their problem, though, is that the opposite can happen, and they can give up 3 goals in no time flat, which we saw in game one. So, I mean, I don't know if they can win the Stanley Cup with their defense, you know, kind of melting down like that, because you know that can happen at basically any time. They're definitely not – they've never had a defensive core that's ever really filled them with confidence. And while I do like Skinner – he's definitely not an elite guy by any means. So, I mean, we'll see what they do. But overall, I think that was a series straight up where they just had way too much talent for the Kings. And I think they're going to have a much tougher time in round two against Vancouver. But moving on to our East predictions, the first series, I was just dead wrong on this one. So Tampa, I had them winning 7 because Tampa in the past has just absolutely owned Florida in the playoffs. That did not happen. Tampa got absolutely steamrolled in this series. It was not even competitive. They took him out in 5 games. Vasilevsky, you know, was struggling back there because of defense. I mean, I haven't seen the Tampa Bay defense look that terrible in so long. I mean, they're scoring 6 goals a game, and it looks like they're not even trying. Carter Verhaeghe and Tkachuk had 9 points in this series. I had Sam Ryan. We both had Sam Ryan as our players to watch. He was actually only at 3 points in 5 games, 3 goals. It was Verhaeghe and Tkachuk that just absolutely went off in this series. Stamkos and Kucherov for our Tampa Bay players to watch. Kucherov had 7 points, all assists in 5 games. And Stamkos had 6 points and 5 goals in 5 games. So, I mean, they did their job. But, again, I think they lost the series because their defense just could not do anything, man. I mean, they were scoring. Bobrovsky only had an .896 save percentage. But I will say one thing I really think affected the series, and you won't see it looking by the stats, that save Sergei Bobrovsky made in game two when Tampa Bay was trying to come back. I mean, it's one of the best – I'm not even joking. It's one of the best saves I've ever seen. And it completely changed the momentum of that series, in my opinion, because if Tampa Bay comes back and wins that game and it's a 1-1 series going back to Tampa, it's completely different. But they steal that game. They went in overtime to go up 2-0. And then you win game three and it's the series is over. I mean, they're too good to blow a 3-0 series lead, even though they got killed in game four. And they came out, steamrolled in game five. But that save in game two, Brady, I know you won't see that from the stats, but I really think that was a giant momentum shift in that series to steal a game like that from an unbelievable save.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, it kind of, you know, scorebook-wise just goes down as one of, you know, his saves. But, I mean, just physically, it was extremely impressive, one of the coolest saves. But, you know, also even more so given the circumstances in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the tight game. And, of course, early on in the series, in the playoffs in general, when you're trying to set the tone of a series. And as you mentioned, Tampa had a chance to put that one in and kind of steal that game and go back to Tampa. As they say, kind of stealing home ice advantage, having the series at the very least tied. But Florida wins that one. And I think that's kind of a, I guess, turning point, or at least the play that you kind of look at and say that, you know, that's kind of the one that really pushed it in Florida's favor, I guess, combining that with the overtime goal that won them that game. And then at that point, I definitely didn't count Tampa out, but I knew it would be very tough for them just with overall, you know, how Florida has played all season. And, you know, with the exception of game four where Tampa played like they needed that game, it was mostly Florida. And as you mentioned, not great really at all defensively from Tampa. They kind of let Vesey out to dry in a lot of situations, but also credit to, you know, the dynamic offense of Florida with, you know, Barkov had a good series as well with of course, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe. Reinhart didn't do as much, but he still kind of did his thing as well.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people, you know, asking if the Lightning are done. I don't know if they're done because I think Florida's an amazing team. I mean, they made the Stanley Cup Finals last season. They've been great so far this season. I think it's very likely they take out Boston as well. I think that's a very close series. It's kind of tough to call, but they definitely could go the distance with them. Tom says Panthers won nothing. Evan Rodriguez with his goal, assisted by Gustav Forsling. So they're up 1-0 there. But, yeah, moving on to, let's see. I'm saving that second series for last. We got to save that for last. The next one, Rangers, Capitals. We both picked Rangers in five. They ended up sweeping, which wasn't very surprising because, honestly, this Capitals team is one of the worst playoff teams, like, in NHL history. They had, like, a minus 40 goal differential. They were basically just there to make up the numbers. So I'm not surprised they got swept at all. Players to watch. I chose Ovechkin because if he was going off for a goal a game, they might have a chance. He had no points, so that didn't work out. And then you had Lindgren, who I'm assuming you picked because if he stood on their head and helped them steal some games.
Yeah, he definitely didn't.
No, it did not go to plan. And then we both picked Panarin, who had 3 points in 4 games, 2 goals. We should have picked Zibanejad. He had 7 points. Trocheck also had 6 points. By the way, Trocheck has been incredible these playoffs. He had the OT winner the other night in game two for the Rangers. Kind of a guy flying under the radar, but he's been amazing. Brady, not really much to say about the series, I think. I think Rangers are an amazing team, and the Capitals are one of the worst playoff teams in NHL history. So we were generous giving them one win. They got swept. I mean, some of the games, if you look at the score, were close. But if you look at the actual play, really weren't close. Game two, they might have been able to steal, but they were unable to. And the other games, I don't even think were even in doubt, like, at all. Igor stood on his head as well when he had to. I mean, he only had to face 25 shots a game, but 931 save percentage, he was good as well. Washington, see, this is why I didn't want the Pens to make the playoffs, because I knew if they made the playoffs, this would happen to them, and it would be utterly embarrassing. So, yeah, not good.
Yeah, back to my, like, Charlie Lindgren pick, too. Some of the goals, just watching him, you know, not completely his fault, but he was out of position, like, so often. You know, for a guy that, you know, played a huge role, and he kind of came out of nowhere to help almost, you know, not just him, but kind of carry the Capitals into the playoffs, because he played good kind of down the stretch to barely get them in there. But, yeah, he did not look great, and, of course, you know, you can't afford that when you're going up against Igor down the other end. And yeah, I mean, you're not going to win when Ovechkin has 0 points. Obviously, he's getting older. He's still, you know, getting it done for the most part. But yeah, going into that series, I think we were actually a little too generous for the Capitals. And, you know, I guess I didn't want to give the Rangers too much credit, but here we are. So just, yeah, that series, for the most part, though, went exactly as expected, except the part where Matt Rempe scored the first goal of the series.
Yeah, good old fourth line that all the Rangers fans love. But next series, Brady, and I'm going to let you do most of the talking on this one. Hurricanes, Islanders. We both picked the Hurricanes to win. You picked them in 7. I picked them in 6. Players to watch. I'll actually let you go through this one, Brady. Who do you think were, you know, the impact players of this series, and what were your general thoughts on the Islanders' poor showing, shall we say, against the Hurricanes?
Yeah, so as far as the Hurricanes went, I think I did pretty well with Seth Jarvis. I could pull up the stats, but I know he potted a few goals, especially on the power play, and that's the thing. Carolina, at least we think, you know, until this current second round series, but they had basically the top power play and I think maybe the top penalty kill in the league, which is not ideal for us, who were at best middle of the pack in special teams. But yeah, Seth Jarvis, you know, he killed us, of course, and I got mad at him a few years ago for when they played the Rangers a few years back in the playoffs, because he wasn't doing much there. And then, of course, he goes off against my team. Gensel didn't necessarily do anything crazy, but, you know, him, Aho, Svechnikov, those guys always kill us. Brent Burns on the back end. Every time we'd have a chance and he's, like, out there on the ice, we'd have, like, a 2-on-1 or something, and he'd just make some ridiculous, like, play, like, to knock a pass down or something. I really hope we don't play Carolina in the playoffs for a while. And unfortunately, that might mean we might not make the playoffs, but it's just exhausting watching these two teams play. You know, I thought Varley played pretty good for us. There were, you know, 2 or 3 goals maybe that I felt he could have had. There was, I think it was 2 separate games, like Kuznetsov and Teravainen, I think, shot it from, like, the same spot from the circle, and he somehow let that in. Then they went to Sorokin, and I was actually at that game. I did not agree with that move. I mean, Ilya, we all know how good Ilya is, but he's kind of having a down year, and Varley played a massive role in getting us to the playoffs down the stretch, and, you know, I didn't think it was really his fault early on, but I kind of had a feeling the series was over when they blew that 3-0 lead in game 2. I also had a feeling the game was over when we went up 3-0, because I went to a game earlier on in the season against Carolina where we were up 3-0 and lost in overtime. And just in general, with this team blowing so many leads this season, I had a feeling – well, I knew that the game definitely was not over when we scored that 3rd goal. And I knew we weren't going to score another goal for the rest of that game. But once that happened, I kind of just accepted that it was probably over. And then after game 3, I was ready to move on. I am happy they gave us at least kind of one moment to remember in game 4 with that. That was an exciting game and the double overtime win. And then game five, they had a chance again. They came back. It was looking early on like they were just done. They came back, and then, I mean, Carolina just gets every bounce too. Like the what ended up being the game-winning goal, like a shot gets blocked right to it, like right on the stick of one of their other players, Jack Drury, I think it was. And not to mention, I don't want to get too much into this, but the officiating when we play Carolina is always very questionable as well, as is the officiating between the Rangers and the Hurricanes for both teams, I feel like, in the second round. But I feel like not as much as in years past, but definitely some interesting calls made in that series. But yeah, I was kind of hoping it would be a little closer. I feel like in the regular season, we play Carolina much better than we have in years past. So I was kind of going off of that a little bit too. But yeah, they always have our number in the playoffs, especially. So not much you could do about it. But going to be a really interesting offseason, considering Lou Lamoriello is still the general manager of this hockey team. So.
Yep. Got like a 94-year-old guy still running your team, man. It's not looking good. And I'll tell you what, man, unfortunate for you because of how this playoff format is. Basically, any year you finish three, you're either going to have to play the Hurricanes or the Rangers round one. So not good. Definitely not good. It honestly might be better if you make the wild card, and maybe the Atlantic has some, you know, fraud team like the Leafs win the division or something. I'd definitely take that over those teams. But unfortunate for them to win. I thought it would go six. I was kind of surprised it ended in five. But realistically, like you said, I think blowing game two was just absolutely embarrassing. And honestly, they could have gotten swept. I mean, they got that double overtime win, which was good. But I mean, that game was right in the balance pretty much the get-go. I was surprised they benched Varlamov as well. I thought he played fine. I mean, I think the Islanders were just kind of overrun a bit. But I mean, 914 save percentage. I was really shocked that he got benched. And when he did, I mean... Sorokin just got absolutely lit up like a Christmas tree. So, yeah, I mean, that's
one or two of those goals he should have had, honestly. They could have won game three, too.
Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, that's a major difference in the series. But, Brady, you know, as bad as it is for you, there's one other fan base you could be, and that is the Toronto Maple Leafs, who, I swear to God, man, this has got to be like the most cursed team I've ever seen in my life. Four game sevens against the same team in the last 11 years. I remember all of these very, very vividly as well. I remember game seven in 2013. They're up 4-1 in the third period. They got James Reimer in that. If that's a blast from the past, if anyone remembers good old Reimer on the Leafs. And then they blow it. It goes to overtime, and they lose 5-4. And that's basically the end of the Phil Kessel. I think it's the last time they ever made the playoffs with Phil Kessel, actually. This next time, I think, was when they already had Matthews and traded him to us. But an OT winner by David Pastrnak. And can I just say, by the way, David Pastrnak, great player. This is one of the worst game-winning overtime goals I have ever seen. It was basically a dump and chase, and the Leafs just lose a puck battle, and it's in. Like, it was the worst effort I've ever seen in my life by a player playing hockey. It was just an absolutely terrible way to go out. Fourth game seven loss, like I said, 13, 18, 19, and now 24. They also lost two game sevens in 21 and 22 to the Canadiens and Lightning, respectively. And when there was the round robin in 2020, they lost that in five games, which was the maximum for the round robin, if I remember right. But yeah Brady, first let's go over our players to watch before we dive into this calamity. We had, let's see here, where is it? Linus Ullmark, that was an L on my part because the Bruins coaching staff decided to troll me on that one because when I looked up the depth chart, when I put this together to see who they were thinking would start, Ullmark was number one, Swayman was number two, and then literally like 30 minutes after I released this graphic, it came out that Swayman was going to be the starter, so that did not go well. Pastrnak, obviously a great choice, won the series for him, and Austin Matthews, yeah, good. This big four, it's not looking good, bruv. It is not looking good from what I've seen. A lot of people calling for Mitch Marner's head. But before we get into that, Brady, what were your thoughts on this series? You know, the Bruins go up 3-1. It looks like they could close it out. And then once again, in typical Leafs fashion, they always come back to make it a series, get it to a game seven. And yet, even when they did that, I kind of like always knew. Like I knew as soon as it went to game seven, something like this would always happen because it's always what happens with them when they face the Bruins. It's not a talent issue. It's a mental issue. The Bruins, they own these guys when it gets to these elimination games. I mean, four times in 11 years in game sevens. The odds of that are just unbelievable. But then it becomes a trend. And as soon as it went to game seven, I said, I'm sorry. I think the Bruins are going to win. And they went up 1-0. And then less than a minute later, they give it up. And it goes to overtime. And they lose because they can't get the puck during a basic dump and chase. Like, it's the most Leafs ending I've ever seen in my life. It's just, it's unbelievable, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I loved every second of that game-winning goal. You know, of course, as an Islander fan, a lot of people say Tavares. That is, like, I also just enjoy watching this because, you know, obviously I'd hate for it to be my team, but, like, it is funny just watching, like, the same thing over and, like, I feel like I'm watching a replay of, like, one of the other Game 7s or something. Like, how does this happen every time? And I honestly thought, you know, at most it would go 6. It could have ended in 5, but, you know, I feel like they always make those jokes about the script writers and all that. It feels like it, though, every time. And, like, somehow they get that overtime win to send it to Game 6. They get another big one to go to Game 7. And then Game 7, of course, like a nail-biter, tight from start to finish, too. Like, no team really pulled ahead. The Leafs got the lead, too. And I don't know. I tricked myself into believing, like, oh, my gosh, they might do this. And then not even, like, a minute and a half later, Lindholm ties the game. And then it went into overtime. And I had a feeling. And, like you said, the most Leafs ending ever. That was a great play by the Bruins, though. I do want to give them credit for kind of that cross-corner dump. Now, there's still really no excuse for it to look that easy as far as, you know, from a Leafs standpoint. But that was still a really nice play. And just, like, the reaction in Maple Leaf Square, because that play just happened like that. And it was just, you know, they were locked in and then just over, like, that quickly. But, yeah, once again, to Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, they just, you know, they're paying these guys all this money to basically do next to nothing, I feel like, in these playoff series. And, you know, every time, with the exception of last year, not even win a round. And then when they did, they only won one game in that next round. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's getting near time, at least, for these guys to kind of be split up eventually, because it's not working. And honestly, at this point, with only one playoff series win, I don't think it's going to really pay off for them, you know, within the next few years either.
Two major deciding factors for me. Number one, which you just alluded to, the big four was the little four in the series. I mean, it was just not good. Matthews only played 5 games. He had 4 points, which, I mean, is all right. But for a guy that scored 69 goals in the regular season, 1 goal in 5 games is definitely not what you expect from him. Nylander, he only played 4 games and he had 3 goals. So I think out of the big four, he's probably, and he's had some good playoff runs the past few years. So I'd probably cut him the most slack. But easily the two biggest culprits, Marner and Tavares, 3 and 2 points respectively in 7 games. I mean, John Tavares is making what, like almost $11 million a year or something like that. Mitch Marner, you know, he's got a big contract as well. And let me just say, man, I don't know a lot of Leafs fans, but Leafs fans I do know, they want Mitch Marner gone. Like, I have seen so much trade missed Mitch Marner stuff the last few days. And I love Mitch Marner in the regular season. I think he's a great player, great passer, phenomenal vision with the puck. But considering these repeated playoff failures, I don't blame them being upset, man. They have the right to be upset because, you know, second most successful franchise hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1967. And it's not like they get the playoffs and get steamrolled. They are competitive. They just can't win when it matters the most. But the second most deciding factor, and this was just unbelievable, the Joseph Woll injury. Because when he came in games 5 and 6, I was not expecting this to be a goaltending series. But Toronto was not scoring, and Samsonov was not doing great. So they went down 3-1. It looks like, well, series is over. And in games 5 and 6, Joseph Woll comes in, absolutely stands on his head. Games 5 and 6 are absolute goalie duels. You have game 5, which at least won in overtime 2-1, and then game 6 in Toronto, which they won 2-1 as well in regulation. But then Woll can't play game 7. He gets injured. He's out. And then Samsonov comes back in, and it was a tight game once again, but I just feel like that's such a big momentum shift. That's such a confidence downer that you have this young goalie come in. I mean, he's only 25 years old, but he's barely played. He comes in, he stands on his head, he basically wins you two games, not all by himself, but he's definitely, I'd say, the main reason. And then he can't go in game 7, and well, I think Samsonov was good in game 7. I don't know, the Leafs just, once the Bruins tied that game up, it just looked like the same old they gave up, and they lost in overtime, and, you know, it was a good effort by the Bruins, like you said, but I mean, I just, it didn't look like all the passion in games 5 and 6, it looked like it was gone pretty much. It looked like they'd spent it all, and once they got to game 7, it was like, they got that 1-0 lead, and they hoped and prayed that they could hold on to it, and they couldn't, because it's the Bruins, and they never give up, and they're, plus I think they're pissed from what happened last season when they got eliminated by the Panthers in round 1. So, you know, like you said, it's like a movie on repeat. Like, how does this happen over and over again? Very talented team. But, I mean, something's got to change because you've only made it out of the first round once. And then you got killed by the Panthers in the next series. It wasn't even close. I think they lost in 5 games. They've only gotten past the first round, I believe, once since 2004, which... I was 5 in 2004. I'm now 25. So it's been a while, to say the least. And Leafs fans deserve more, at least the ones that aren't crazy. There are a lot of crazy Leafs fans, but there are a lot of good ones too. I mean, this is the most popular team in the NHL and hockey for a reason. They expect better, and they should get better, because this is a legendary franchise that has been hard on their luck for decades. And when you're paying $40 million or whatever to 4 players and you can't even get out of the first round, I mean, come on. Like, it's embarrassing. But, yeah.
They're going to have a coaching change now, though.
Yep, Keith got fired. Gone. He got fired yesterday. I saw that. Which, I mean, I wouldn't say I disagree with it, but at the same time, like, these players got to step up, man. Like, yeah. When you're getting paid that much money, it's not all the coach. I wouldn't say he's a scapegoat necessarily, but it is putting all the blame on one guy when I think it should be spread around. But yeah, those were our round 1 predictions. Now we're going to get into round 2 real quick. So we'll just go through these. We got these 4 series here. Obviously round 2 already started. So, you know, we're not going to be talking about these series like they haven't happened yet. Which, I mean, there's nothing we could do to avoid that because of how the TV schedule lined up. Round 2 started when round 1 was still going on. So nothing we could do to get around that. But we'll go ahead and put up our predictions here. These were made right after the Stars Golden Knights Game 7 ended. So the Rangers had already won Game 1 against the Hurricanes. But we'll start with let me remove this real quick. We'll start with the Avs Stars, which is currently tied 1-1. So we both picked the Avs to win this series. You picked them in 6, and I picked them in 7. I went with Cale Makar as my player to watch. Incredible defense, incredible offensive defenseman. And then we both kind of learned our lesson. Oh, we put Wyatt Johnston, which I think is pretty safe. And you had McKinnon, which, I mean, is always, you know, a solid choice. He's probably going to win the Hart Trophy, if we're being honest. But, you know, coming off a series where, you know, they killed the Jets, won it in 5 games, this is a freaking nail biter of a series, man. Like, I think this is probably gonna go 7. I think it's gonna be a dead heat pretty much the rest of the way. It's gonna come down to star power. I mean, I think the Avs have more star power, but with the way Ottinger played in round 1, if he keeps doing that and they can limit the Avs' offense, Dallas does have a good offense. I mean, they were like 2nd in goals for this season, I believe. So they can put up goals. I think this series is going to come down to which team has better defense and better goaltending, because both of the offenses are absolutely stacked. Overall, I gave the Avs an edge just because I think they have a little bit more experience, a little bit more top talent. Like, I think I would take, I would take McKinnon and Rantanen as a duo over Robertson and Johnston, or Robertson and hence pretty much any second guy you put with Robertson. I'd probably take the Habs top guys. And even though I like Heiskanen, I think he's a really good defenseman, the Stars don't have anyone like Cale Makar on the blue line. Like, he's just amazing. So I think if the Stars win the series, I think it'll mainly be because of Jake Oettinger. If he just absolutely goes off, and maybe if Georgiev kind of has an off series, I think it'd be very competitive. But I'll give the Avs a slight edge in this one. And you picked the Avs in six as well. What were some of your reasonings for that?
Yeah, I think it was kind of pretty much the same as I wanted to pick the Stars. I'm probably rooting for them just because the Avs have kind of been, you know, one of the top West teams. They won a cup. They kind of been around there. The Stars have, you know, made the playoffs a good amount of seasons, but they haven't really done much with it. So, and I like their young talent. But you know, the star power, I would give the Avs the edge with, you know, the possible Hart Trophy winner, obviously Hart Trophy candidate Nathan McKinnon. Rantanen's been once again going off. Makar, Taze on the back end. You know, their biggest question is, of course, Georgiev. He's been, I guess, good enough, at least kind of late in that that first round series to beat the Jets the last few games. But yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think for the Stars to win it, Georgiev's gonna, I don't know if I'd say like carry, but you know, definitely be one of, if not their like best player, and their offensive talent's gonna really have to come up big for them. Looking back on it, I almost, you know, I don't know about absent six. I feel like this one is labeled for a seven game series, but if I had to pick less than that, like I did, I would, you know, give the edge to the Avs just with that playoff experience as well now, being in the second round too for the most part for most of the last few playoffs and getting that cup too with a lot of these guys as well.
Next series. And this series is, unbiasedly speaking, it's probably my favorite series, which I think Florida-Boston is amazing too, but I just love this one because you got the best player in the world at the moment going up against a very young, surprising team, and two Canadian teams as well, which is always nice. You have the Canucks going up against the Oilers, and I already mentioned earlier, but they were down 4-2 in the third period in Game 1, and they ended up coming back to win Game 1 5-4. Both teams, we already mentioned, you know, looked really good in Game 1, but round 1. But I think the goaltending matchup is going to be what's deciding the series. If Seelovs can keep up what he did in round one, he's going to have to against an offense like that. They can win this series. And on the other side, Skinner, he needs to have a good series because the Canucks have good offensive power as well. They may not have anyone like McDavid or Draisaitl, but I mean, you got Besser, you got JT Miller, you got Quinn Hughes. I mean, they got guys. And if we look at our predictions, we both have it going to seven. You went with the Canucks. I went with the Oilers. I hope you're right, because the Canucks, I think, are a really nice surprise team, and I like a lot of the young players. I just don't know. I don't know if they can match the Oilers' offensive firepower, but it could happen, definitely. I went with Bouchard again as my player to watch. I absolutely love Evan Bouchard. And then Seelovs, like I said, I just explained why he's my player to watch. He needs to have a good series. Same for Stuart Skinner you have here, there, and then good old Brock Besser, who was actually, I think, linked to a trade with the Pens around the trade deadline, funny enough. Good move by the Canucks to not do that, because Brock Besser would be sitting at home right now on his couch watching the playoffs. But, yeah, man, this is a tough series. I definitely think it's going seven like you both had. But, you know, what were some of your reasons that you picked the Canucks to win this series?
Yeah, well, for my players to watch, Stuart Skinner, I feel like a lot of the Oilers' success or failures could come down to their goaltending, because Stuart Skinner, like we said before, he's you know, had a pretty good season, but the goaltending has always been the question for the Oilers, and there's been times, of course, where he's, you know, had his struggles, and going up against a team like Vancouver, who this season in particular has, you know, has a lot of offensive talent. They put it to good use. I think that could be a problem. Brock Besser on the other side, I mean, based off of the first round too, he's been one of their best players. And I think he could carry that over. But Yeah, I think this was a really tough one for me because the Oilers had, I mean, they got McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman's been going off. But I almost feel like I went maybe a little biased because, like you, I really want to see the Canucks, you know, have a good season. They're almost maybe even the team I'm rooting for the rest of the way here to finally get a Stanley Cup. But I think, like you said, if Seelovs, that's a big question mark. Really, the goaltending, I feel like, might even be, like, the biggest question mark for both teams. But also, like, even game one, like, I went to bed because I had to get up early the next morning. I think it was, like, 3-1 Edmonton in, like, the second period or something like that. And I'm like, this game's probably over. And I woke up, like, the next morning and I saw, like, that insane comeback. And like I said before, I think this one's going to be, you know, kind of trading blow for blow here between these two teams. I think it's going to go probably at least 6, maybe 7. I don't know if I have like a really good reason to pick the Canucks other than, like I said, my biases, but I do think as well, both these teams are playing really, really good hockey right now. And I'm really excited for the rest of the series if it's anything like game one. But I feel like the Canucks, I don't know, I feel like it, I don't know if they're going to win the cup, but I do think it's almost, you know, it just feels like destiny or something like that to some extent where I feel like they're going to have, you know, a fairly deep playoff run.
Next one, another really tough series, another one I think could definitely go 6. Florida-Boston, which end of the first, it's still 1-0 Panthers, so that's probably where our little watch along in that is going to end. But we'll see how that one goes. But after the first two games, tied 1-1. And my main takeaway from this series is it seems like every 5 seconds I see something about Pat Maroon and Matt Tkachuk wanting to fight each other. So, but Matt Tkachuk, man, you know, I understand why a lot of people dislike him. He's kind of a rat like Brad Marchand. But I personally love him. I kind of like the douchebag players a little bit when it comes to hockey. And he's a great talent as well. But, I mean, he had a massive hit. Or, you know, he got steamrolled by Brad Marchand. That's what it was. And then he fought Pasternak in game two, actually, which I didn't watch the fight. I don't know how it went. But I heard it was pretty good, pretty interesting. So, there you go. But this series is very interesting. Let me go ahead and put up our predictions here real quick. So we both picked Florida in 6. Honestly, I think that's probably a bit generous. I think this series is going 7 games. I think both these teams are just ridiculous players to watch. We both picked Swayman, which, I mean, after how he played against the Leafs, is definitely understandable. And then I went Tkachuk and you went for Hagee, which I think both make sense because I think they both had 9 points in round one. And Kachuk's already up to his shenanigans, like I said. But Brady, are you sticking by that Florida in 6 prediction, or are you maybe changing it a bit? Because I'm going to be honest, I think it's more like a 7-game series when I look at it now.
I agree. I will stick by it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it went that 7. I feel like overall, even when, you know, Boston was ahead of them where it was really tight, I just felt like Florida is a little bit of a better built team right now. You know, Boston's lost a few players over the years and some of their guys are getting older. Not that that seems to really matter. And Boston, their goaltending the last few seasons has been outstanding. And I think they're kind of out for blood, especially in this series after the way last year went for them in the playoffs. But Sergei Bobrovsky, you know, he's kind of getting up there too. And we're kind of not sure, I guess, what to make of him, but from season to season, but he's really stood on his head. I feel like for Florida, we talked about his big save and his big series against Tampa. But I just feel like the younger firepower of the Panthers has just been outstanding. And that kind of carried them big time to the Stanley Cup final last year. And they're a really fun team to watch. Just the talent of some of their guys with Barkov and Tkachuk and Verhaeghe came up big for them last year as well. That's kind of my reasoning behind him picking him. He had, you know, a great first round, and he had the goal against Boston last year, and he had some other really big goals throughout the playoffs last year in their run. But like, I think just those guys, if they stay on, I think this will end up being Florida in six or seven. But these two teams, as we've seen, do not like each other. So I think, you know, at least it goes six, obviously. But it wouldn't shock me if it went seven. And this so far has probably been the most entertaining series to watch, as far as it has everything, you know, goals, fights. And, you know, for, I feel like for casuals, you know, a lot of them are always interested in the fighting aspect too, and the hitting and all that. So I think this would probably be the series I'd point to. And also just kind of prediction wise, I think this could end up being like the most entertaining.
Last series, which I do think has been entertaining, but I'm really surprised about how it's gone so far. Rangers Hurricanes. I'm stunned this is 3-0. Like 3-1 goal games, two games that went to overtime. Game two went to double overtime, and the Rangers won all of them. Game winners by, I believe, Trocheck and Panarin in games two and three, respectively. Like we mentioned earlier, both these teams are dominant in the first round, but the Rangers, you know, have had that edge in this one so far. And I think it's been a very close series. I don't, you know, I mean, it's 3-0. You can't say, you know, it's that the score lies. I mean, they've deserved to be up 3-0, but it's been a very fine margin series. And I think there's two main reasons that I give why the Rangers have been winning this series. Number one is Igor Shesterkin. He has been absolutely unbelievable. He has been getting peppered back there by the Hurricanes. I mean, 129 shots against in three games. So 43 shots against per game. I know that there were some overtime games in there, but that's still a lot of work to do. 938 save percentage. Whereas on the other side, I don't know why they started Frederick Anderson. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I think Kochetkov should have been starting the series from the jump. I mean, he wasn't great in game three, but I mean, you throw him in when he's ice cold. I mean, I'm not really surprised that he had an off game. And Anderson, I like him in the regular season, but he's another guy that has always struggled in the playoffs. When he was back with the Leafs, that was the story with him. He's not good in the playoffs, and unfortunately, it looks like it's continuing for him. But second big reason that the Hurricanes are losing this series, they've been better 5-on-5, but their special teams has been horrific. I mean, you know, you mentioned it earlier, Brady. The Hurricanes' power play is one of their biggest strengths. They have no power play goals in the series. The Rangers have four. And when it's a game or when it's a series to where you have the advantage 5-on-5, you can't have something like that happening, because it's been a very fine margin series where, you know, I think the Hurricanes have played better 5-on-5, but they have the goaltending disadvantage, which I always knew would be the Rangers' big advantage and why I picked them to win this series. And I'll go ahead and put up our predictions here. We both had it going seven. You picked the Hurricanes. I picked the Rangers. It's not – it may go seven, but I highly doubt it. I think that you cannot fall down 3-0, and especially the way they have. I mean, I picked Frederick Anderson because, like I said, you know, if he needs to perform in the playoffs, he did not. Martin Etches for you, and then Zibanejad and Trocheck, I think, are both really good choices. But, yeah, terrible special teams, even though they've been strong 5-on-5, and goaltending mismatch, I think, has defined the series so far.
Yeah, I as I mentioned to you earlier, like, I feel like the Islanders did win that first-round series because I feel like I'm watching them. I'm like yelling at my TV, stop taking penalties, because as you mentioned, I feel like if, I mean, you know, it's going to happen, but I feel like if they could limit that, they'd probably have at least one win right now. And obviously I'm rooting for the Canes, even though I really didn't want to after that first round. but no, yeah, it's been insanely tight. Igor Shesterkin, I knew they'd have the edge. And leave it to Islander luck for Freddie Anderson to absolutely dominate the first round. And then, you know, not everything's his fault, but not be great in the second round. And, you know, Kochetkov, he was all right last night. But, yeah, I mean, and those games go to overtime. They're tightly contested, not to mention, too, special teams-wise, the Rangers have at least one shorthanded goal in this series. And they've been killing it shorthanded as far as them scoring too all season.
Yeah.
And that goal was huge last night. But yeah, not that the Rangers are like bad 5-on-5, but Carolina, I give the edge to them. And At this point, though, I think at most this series, I mean, I guess at most I could see it going six, but I realistically, I think five. You know, I could see Carolina winning because they probably could have a few wins, but I also feel like the way they've lost these games, you know, game one was pretty tight. They got themselves back in it late and had a chance to tie it. And then, of course, the last two just overtime, killer overtime losses. Like, I do feel like, though, that's really mentally draining to be down 3-0 knowing you could, you know, maybe even be up in the series, you know, depending on if things swung the other way. But, yeah, you know, as far as the series score kind of goes, it's not close, but it, you know, it's been another one of those, like, extremely close series. It's just one team, you know, is capitalizing and getting the bounces, and the other team is just, you know, the complete opposite, just not capitalizing on it whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, I think Carolina is better. In fact, I was talking to my buddy Brian Attard, who's a massive Rangers fan, yesterday before Game 3, and he told me he thinks Carolina is the best team in the league, which, you know.
They were the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, which I don't know if I completely agreed with, but, you know, I could see it kind of going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I think it's so surprising. But at the same time, you can't really complain. I mean, the score is what it is. I understand losing one overtime game. You can't lose both, because if you lose both, I mean, like you said, that's just so not just mentally draining, physically draining. I mean, you go to double overtime in one and overtime in the next. That's, you know, at least like 40 extra minutes of hockey. And we all know, I mean, Stanley Cup hockey is extremely exhausting, extremely physical, and that adds up. And that those are games where you basically you got to win it. Because if you go through all the effort and you lose, I mean, it's just – and then you do it again. I mean, that just adds up, man. I don't think they'll get swept or anything. I think they might win one, maybe two games. But the way they've fallen down when, you know, they should have at least one game, I think you're never in trouble in the playoffs until you lose at home. They lost game three at home. They really needed to win it. And now the series is over because they're not coming back from 3-0. I mean, the Rangers are just way too good. Maybe if it was some Joe Schmo team that fluked their way to 3-0, I could get it. But the Hurricanes are losing this series because they've absolutely choked on special teams. And the Rangers have wanted it more when it mattered the most. It was a heartbreaking way they lost game three as well. I mean, I just could not believe what I was watching. But you can't complain about it. It's the situation you're in. I'm not necessarily a Rangers fan, but, I mean – they've been good when it matters. Igor's been amazing. You can't get salty about it. I mean, you've had your opportunities. You haven't taken them, and they have. I mean, that's just the way it is, unfortunately, for them. I think they're an amazing team. But the Rangers, I will say, I'm really liking Laviolette, man. I think those players are buying into what he's preaching there. They look completely different this playoffs than they have in the past. You know, it seems like, you know, they're much – I wouldn't say better defensively because, I mean, they've kind of been getting peppered. But the belief seems to be there. Their confidence seems higher. They seem to be playing much better, much sounder hockey. More physical as well, in my opinion. But, yeah, they're going to win this series. I'm going to be interested to see who they face in the conference finals. What I'm really interested to see with the Rangers is they've been amazing this playoffs. But I want to see what they do when they have a game to where they go down 1-2 early. Or 2-3, and they got to try and claw back in the series, because so far in the playoffs, all of their games have either been they've been out ahead and never had to worry about anything, mostly against the Capitals, or they've been in these tight games. The Rangers throughout the playoffs have never had a deficit more than one goal. So if they do, if they're down 2-0 in a game, can they come back? That's what I want to see from the Rangers. If they can show they can do that, they can definitely win the Stanley Cup. But I do want to see how they overcome that adversity. But so far, so good. I mean, 7-0 in the playoffs. I mean, that's crazy. That's amazing. In fact, even though the regular season record is much better than this team, but the way they play in Brady, it kind of reminds me of the 2012 Kings, to where they just win all these tight games. They got the great goaltending on the back end, you know, standing on his head. And I mean, what? The Kings only lost four playoff games their whole run, and they're almost halfway there, and they're still undefeated. 9 more wins to go. but they've definitely been one of the most impressive teams in the playoffs, in my opinion. And I say that as a guy who doesn't really like their team, but you got to give respect where it's due. I mean,
I'm mentally preparing for that eventual possibility in about a month's time or so. I'm trying to, but yeah, because I'm worried. But you know, I mean, this series technically isn't over yet, and you know, they're going up against, no matter who it is, even though their series I'm sure will go much longer, a very tough, very good team in the next round, and you know, in the cup final if they make it there. But the 7-0 last time they did that, or at least 6-0, was 1994. So we all know what happened. But.
Indeed. Talk about a funny, you mentioned 1994. Yes, the Stanley Cup Finals went 7 games, but their real toughest opponent that year was the Devils, because they had, I believe, 2 double overtime games in that series, and both of them were won by OT goals by Stéphane Matteau. So, you know, a little fun fact for you there. But, they're going to go to the conference finals, and barring one of the biggest chokes in NHL history.
Which would be awesome.
It would be, but I'm not counting on it. I don't think it's
not going to happen.
But I'm interested to see who they play. Real quick, Brady, before we kind of hop off here for the night, what is your gut feeling? Do you think a West or East team wins the Stanley Cup this year? Because I got to be honest, I'm kind of feeling an Eastern team. I feel like the Rangers, Bruins, or Panthers are probably higher odds to win than most of the teams left in the West.
I think I agree with you. Although I feel like to some extent I got to see, like, you know, cause I feel like that could change depending on, you know, who makes it for the West and who does come out for the East. But like when the finals start, but I do just feel like the way the season's gone overall with the, or I guess at this point, the 3 expected teams to come out of the East. And even if the Hurricanes were to come back, and they'd have a lot of momentum going into that Eastern Conference final. But I just feel like overall, they're kind of a, it's hard to say, but like the more, I guess, better built teams to some extent, just I feel like maybe a little bit more firepower overall. Like, I feel like as good as the Canucks have been, you know, of course, we'll see, you know, with Seelovs and all that, how far he takes them. They're also very young, and they really don't have any playoff experience. And, I mean, the Avs are definitely a team I, of course, keep my eye on. I feel like the Stars are in somewhat of a similar boat as the Canucks, although they have a little bit of a playoff experience as well. And then Edmonton, I think if Edmonton gets there, though, I feel like it could – finally be their time, because you know that East, that team that comes out of the East would have to stop McDavid and Drysdale. I feel like at that point it would be hard to if they get that far, because I'm sure they're going to be really hungry for that cup at that point. But I overall just feel like the East teams might be a little bit better kind of built to eventually get there.
Yeah, there'd be no stopping that power play. If they got to the finals, the only thing would be, would they be able to win game 6-5? Because that would be my main concern with the Oilers. But if they do get that far, they might be destined, like you say. Because I feel like with them, it's more a matter of when rather than if. If they can ever fix their defense to be halfway decent with the offensive players they have. But they got to do it soon, because if not, they're probably going to – I mean, David Draisaitl are probably eventually going to get fed up and say, you know, we're out of here, because there's only so many heartbreaks you can take when you're putting up 2 or 3 points a night and, you know, you still haven't won a Stanley Cup. I mean, it was only like, what, year before last where they had those playoffs where they had like 30 points, which is ridiculous, and they got swept in the conference finals. So, like, that's why I'm hesitant to buy in on them. Vancouver's still a question mark for me. I think I have more faith in the Stars and Avs to win that series, because I think I know a little bit more about what they're about. I mean, a team that just won the finals year before last, and then a team that has at least made the finals in recent memory. They lost to the Lightning, yes, but they've been there before. So we'll see what happens. But these playoffs have been amazing so far, and we got some great matchups and some great matchups to come. So Brady, do you have any kind of final thoughts here before we wrap it up for the night?
Not too much other than, as you mentioned, best time of the year, NHL playoffs. I do, as I mentioned, thankfully still have my Knicks, but still a little nerve-wracking as far as hockey goes with, because I'm still rooting against the Rangers. Hurricanes, please pull off one of the funniest comebacks ever. No, but overall, just very exciting. A lot of comebacks, a lot of overtime, some really nail-biting hockey. This is, you know, and a lot of physical play. This is why you tune in for the playoffs. So next time, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of our predictions and all that turned out completely wrong, because, I mean, we had that happen several times in the regular season, and yes, the playoffs takes it to another level completely. So overall, though, just what a season overall it's been for the National Hockey League. And, you know, next year we'll have a team in Utah as well. Yes. But, yeah, a lot of it's a great time, I feel like, to be, you know, watching the NHL.
Definitely, man. The season has been amazing. The playoffs have been really good. And it's only going to continue, I think, because our potential matchups at the conference finals, no matter which teams come out, I think they all look really good. So we'll see what happens there. But till next time, we'll see when we come back. We got to see, you know, when these series end or whatnot, so we can come back for conference finals predictions. But until then, from myself, Noah Dog Diver, and my co-host and buddy, Brady Campbell, enjoy your playoff hockey, stay safe, and keep pucking around.